a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Time. This week, I'm here, as I'm here the fourth Thursday of every month, with my hostess with the mostest, Reverend Lori Powers Otto. And this week, this month, we also have a guest. So it's a three-for-one day on the Dr. Kevin Show. Lucky you. But before we introduce tonight's guest, Lori, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Dr. Kevin. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm kind of hanging out at Fabulous, but I'm working at getting better. What can I say?
Oh, I like it. I always strive for better.
You know, there's always this, there's always got to be one more drop of milk of human kindness and, I don't know, drop of champagne left in the Dom Perignon bottle. I don't know, whichever, you know, whatever works for you. Sometimes that Dom Perignon bottle of champagne helps that milk of human kindness stay kind. You know what I mean?
Sometimes.
So, I am going to introduce tonight's guest in just a moment, but before we do that, I just want to do a check-in. I only get to talk to you on air once a month. I talk to you a little more often than that off air, but we won't tell people. Anything new and exciting going on in your world?
Oh, you know me. Always something going on. We're doing massive home renovations, just my husband and I. I'm doing a private psychic party Saturday. I got a charity event coming up in October. You know, lots of stuff going on in my world.
So, Nicole, that's good. We're trying to keep you off the street, you know. So, because when you get on the street, your husband complains, and I have to listen to him. So, I have a Growing Your Spiritual Business class coming up October 4th at Lions Gate Spiritual Health and Wellness Center in Westboro, Mass. I've got a ghost class coming up there about what creates ghosts, what makes a ghost, how can you die and not become a ghost, and what is not a ghost that we confuse with a ghost. All that sort of stuff I've been talking about, you know, since ghosts were alive. I feel like that's how long. Like some of the dead people I talk to, I was talking about dead people before they were dead, before they were born. God, the joys of getting old. And then I'm also doing Celebrate Samhain the third Saturday in October in Nashua, New Hampshire. I'm going to be there at that event. And I am spending the whole weekend with a branding team that I'm flying in. It's completely rebranding my logos, my websites. We're going to give the old girl a buff and polish and fluff, and we're going to make it all look like she's 20 again.
Ha! Ooh, I'm excited. Nice.
Yeah, we got some exciting things going on, and I'll share one more thing, and then I will remind guests how they can call in to talk to our guest or to either you and I today. But on Sunday, I am happy to say on the 133rd day that I finished the first draft of my new book.
Yay! That is exciting.
Yep. So, as I mentioned on the show before, this is my first LGBTQIA romance novel. And it's a romance and a historical fiction novel, actually, combination. And so, you know, 133 days, 90,000 words, and that was all done in my spare time, which I have.
Yes, you have very little on. That's impressive.
But, yeah, and this is going to be the first of what's looking like an 8-book series. That's going to be examining LGBTQIA romance in all sorts of different combinations that will go from the early 1900s into the 2020s. The book series will show how the changing landscape of America and the treatment of LGBTQIA and their issues and things like this as the backdrop for all these romance books. So,
very cool.
There we go. Okay, so let's introduce tonight's guest. Before we do, though, I do want to say that if you would like to be part of this conversation, you may do so by calling in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You can call in. You can ask any kind of questions you'd like, as long as they are respectful. It's the only thing we request here on the Dr. Kevin Show. You don't have to agree with what we're saying, but if you disagree, disagree respectfully, or I will respectfully hang up on you.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? No false advertising on this show.
Fair enough.
So tonight's guest is a return guest. We were trying to figure out, it was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, go ahead.
It was in 17, I think, when I looked it up. 2017.
Oh, my God. Well.
Back that far to find it, yeah. March,
5 years. 5 years ago, I had this young man on, and I was doing a young entrepreneur series. I had reached out, and I had connected up with some young people who were out there making a difference, changing the world, doing it on their own terms. And I was introduced via, you know, the wonderful world of internet. I've never met him in person, though I would love to meet him in person sometime, as one of the young entrepreneurs that I was impressed with what he was doing at the time and felt like he is part of the reason why I have hope for the future and what this generation that's coming up now is going to hopefully fix for all the things that our broken down old generation broke. You know what I mean, Lori?
Yes, I do.
So he is still a young entrepreneur. Because he is 25 now. Oh my God, you're getting old there. No. This is Swish Goswami. And I don't know if I pronounced the name correctly in 2017. I probably murdered it again in 2022, but you know, there's something to be said for consistency. He is the CEO of Surf, a tech company providing brands a better way to engage, understand consumers while compensating consumers for their data. Data is a big issue these days. Surf's revolutionary browser extensions passively rewards people for their everyday browsing and helps them save when shopping with their favorite brands. Surf's brand division provides zero-party data and commerce enablement opportunities. There's some big words here. I don't even know if I know them all. You know, me and tech don't always get along. Name opportunities to some of the world's biggest brands like Netflix, NBA, Sony Music, L'Oreal, Electronic Art. And it goes on and it says a lot of other stuff, which I'm not going to go into all of it, because if you come to the Dr. Kevin Show on the Facebook fan page, you can read all of it. You can click his link. You can see his picture. You can see that he is a handsome young man. And now we're going to let him speak. Swish, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks so much for having me back, Dr. Kevin. Good to meet you as well, Lori. 5 years. Holy, I can't even believe that time has flown that much. But yeah, I'm getting old now. 25. I'm feeling tired these days.
Oh, holy. 25. You're still a baby.
I'm kidding around. But it is crazy that time has flown that quickly. Like, I did not think it was 5 years. I thought it was more like 3 years or something. But that is wild.
Yeah. I was surprised because I told Lori. She said, "Well, tell me about this guy." I said, "Well, I had him on the show. He's an impressive young man." I said, "Go back. I had him on." I said, "Listen to the interview." I'm sure she did, because she's good like that. I'm horrible. I didn't go back and listen to it. So. But I just want you to know, just so you can be prepared for what's going to happen in 5 years. Okay, Swish, do you know what's going to happen?
Oh, no. I turned 30. That's all I know. But tell me more.
In 5 years, you will then officially be older than me. and I will never let you in the chat, just so you know.
Oh, God.
So, tell me, so, Lori, you listened to the last interview, and I didn't have a chance to go back and listen to the last interview, tell me what's been going on, and then I'm going to let Lori ask some questions that she has from listening to the last time that you and I bantered.
Sure.
So,
100%.
Update us. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, like, I mean, work-wise, I don't know if the last time I came on I talked about TrueFan, but about kind of around 2018, I started a company called, you know, TrueFan. Our main goal was to help brands identify who their top fans on social media were. And I'm still working on that project. We actually rebranded the entire company, though, at the start of this year and called it Surf. And we've added a lot of components to the idea. So it's not just about finding your top fans on social media now. We allow brands to run giveaways on our platform to generate contact information and give prizes to their community. And we also, you know, have this incredible extension that you can download on any major web browser that gives people points for their browsing data. So what we've essentially created is a marketplace where people can be compensated for their data directly, and brands can get the most high fidelity, high quality data from consumers. Past that, I did finally release my book. I think I talked a little bit about that the last time I came, but I was commissioned to write a book about 5 years ago on youth entrepreneurship, how to start a business while you're in school. And we were able to get that out in May of this year, which I'm very happy about. I've been on a little bit of a speaking tour to talk a little bit more about the book and everything within it. And I think the last thing to probably note is I've become a very avid fan of Formula One recently. So I grew up in Singapore. We obviously have the Grand Prix in Singapore every year. But my love for Formula One has kind of been revitalized, I think, A, because of the Netflix show, and B, because I got really into simulator driving. So I have a simulator at home, actually, in Toronto. And I'm looking forward to potentially creating an F1 podcast in the new year. So that's been a little bit on my mind now, because we're putting the idea together and trying to launch it in January.
Youth and a desire for speed, right?
Put simply, that is probably the reason why I love it. I actually even joined a go-karting league. I just wanted to go faster, but yeah.
Nice.
You know, when I was in my late teens and 20s, we were all about speed too, but it didn't have anything to do with a car. How old were you when you started your first business?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was actually 14, and I joined a program called Junior Achievement. So Junior Achievement is like a business program for people that are kind of grade 9 to 12. And I decided to come on, and it was a six-month program. We worked with other students, about five or six other students, and you create a project. And so our project was a custom lapel pins company, so pins that you can put on your T-shirt or your suit or whatever. And we did, you know, custom pins for events, conferences, and schools. So it was pretty neat. You know, we actually won Southwest Alberta's Company of the Year within the program. We were nominated for Canada's Company of the Year for the program as well. And it definitely was like my first foray into entrepreneurship and just understanding that, oh, being an entrepreneur is actually a viable career path for people.
I can't tell you how interesting. I don't think we discussed that last time, but if we did, I probably said, and you wouldn't remember because it was 5 years ago, and your brain is speeded out on Formula Ones, and mine's just old at this point. But I spent a stint as on the board of directors for Junior Achievement, and actually went into the classroom and worked with kids.
I love that.
Very. Very familiar with the program. And then I worked with another entrepreneurial program that ran a teen program five times a year to help teens from 11, we did 11 to 21, discover what their passion is, launch a business. And they had access to all of these business people, professors, faculty. I was on the faculty there for several years teaching at an MBA level boot camp for entrepreneurs. And we had a teen program. Where we and some of those teams launched businesses and still have them today. So,
right,
Lori, I'm going to turn it over to you to see what questions you have, because I don't want to talk through the whole thing with Swish and say, why did I call in? What questions do you have for him?
Well, when I listened to the, you know, the replay, I was intrigued, Swish, by your outlook for the future and your outlook of, you know, politics and everything. And I have been waiting to ask you, how has your mindset changed, or has your mindset changed in the last 5 years? Do you look at the world differently? You know, what is it you're looking for?
Yeah, for sure. No, I think it's a great question. I think my mindset has changed in terms of, I think I look at issues in the less black and white way. I think I just realized that, you know, I think growing up, you always have like a one-sided opinion on so many issues. You don't kind of candidly get to see both sides, or even beyond just, you know, being able to see both sides, you typically aren't even open to seeing both sides because you're so naive growing up, and you really just see the world from one perspective and not necessarily both. So for me, like, I think just in the last few years, especially when it comes to business, when it comes to even just politics and so many of the issues that we're talking about, whether it's around, you know, freedom of speech, or whether it's around LGBTQ rights, or whether it's around, you know, the role that governments play within foreign policy, even within, you know, right now we're having a major debate in Canada around, you know, being a part of the constitutional monarchy after the Queen's death. Like, stuff like that has really made me aware that there's always two sides to an issue. And if you want to be a person that truly engages in debate properly, you need to look at both sides and understand where people are coming from. And so again, I don't know if this was something that I did as well when I was 20, when I was 21, but I'm kind of at this point now where I am actually consuming news from several different outlets, not just one that had one particular, you know, political leaning. I'm trying as much as possible to surround myself with different types of business leaders from different industries and not just tech. And so I think just having that diversity of opinion around me has been pretty helpful.
Excellent. Awesome. That is wonderful. I love that you realize, or you've come to broaden your mindsets and your connections and, you know, the people you interact with, and you see the benefit of it, where a lot of people are afraid to, you know, interact with people who aren't their same thought process, their same mindset, their same industry even. I know people, very few, thank God, but I know people who don't even have any friends outside of their job industry.
It's crazy. And I think social media obviously amplifies that, right? Like the fact that you can block people so easily on platforms like Instagram and Facebook. I mean, people literally, you know, get into internet debates or whatever, or they'll see like, oh, my friend is starting to post something that is totally different from what I believe, and they'll just click the block button without even thinking. And over time, when you do that enough, what you really create is an echo chamber, right? You create simply a group of people online that think exactly like you do, that are telling you that exactly what you believe is right and is the absolute truth, when in actuality, it might not be. And it probably, you know, isn't also representative of what most people out there think. So I just want to have more of a representation across issues on what people think. And I think the more and more I've been doing that, the more and more I've kind of appreciated the nuance behind some of these issues. Again, going back to that idea of like, I don't see issues anymore as a black and white issue.
Excellent.
Well, I think it's really important to do that. And one of the things that I want to say about what you just shared, Swish, was yes, people create the echo chamber, but in some ways, the way that social media chooses what to put in your feed, does that not also create the echo chamber?
Yeah, 100%. And the whole engine is built around your likes and around your comments, right? So, you know, YouTube, for example, realizes, this person seems to be watching a lot of Ben Shapiro videos, for example. They'll just send you more Ben Shapiro, Mal Yiannopoulos type videos, and that'll obviously lead you down a rabbit hole where now you're consuming that type of content only. And by the way, like, I don't know how they do it, but it seems like, you know when you say something, for example, to your friend, and then later on you get an ad for it on Facebook, like, it seems to be that, like, data is also being shared across many companies. So like when you're Google searching a lot, you know, of things, for example, you will actually start to see YouTube videos or Facebook ads that are similar to what you Googled. And so that's one thing as well, which I know a lot of people are concerned with, is just, you know, it seems like this personalization is actually, again, making people more narrow-minded and not making people, you know, exposed to various types of ideologies or ideas or people that would allow them to have a more balanced mindset.
Well, you know, so there's a couple of things, and we're coming up to our first break. We'll be right back for more fascinating conversations with Wish and Dr. Lori. Reverend Lori. I upgraded, huh?
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. Remember that we are a live call-in show, so if you'd like to talk to Lori, myself, or Swish, you can do so by calling in at 202-570-7057. If you want to get all the dirt on Swish, or all the dirty bit available to us at least, you can come to facebook.com/TheDrKevinShow, and you'll see his full bio, his links, and his pictures, or whatever pictures he sent us. I'm sure they were all doctored, right, Swish?
100%. I only picked the best, the most filtered and edited possible, but yeah.
Gee, you'd think you were on Grindr. No. So anyway. So one of the, you know, this whole us and them mentality, though, is really, really dangerous. And I talk about it a lot because I do a political show once a month on the Dr. Kevin Show. We have a guy that comes in regularly and we do politics. And this us and them, it's really, really scary. And social media, I really feel, took all the us and them to such a new level that, you know, sometimes it's almost scary. We think, can we get back to a time when people can disagree politely? When people can say, share your viewpoint, you know?
It's funny because even the times where we're supposed to do that, like, you know, I look at municipal debates, presidential debates. I mean, those are just such a farce, you know, like it's as if you have like two people that are just sharing their ideology, sharing their beliefs, but they're not actually in conflict with one another. Like they're not actually trying to debate topics as much as just push their own narrative again and again and again. So yeah, I'm very, the one thing that, you know, I think again, going back to mindset and what has changed in the last 5 years, the one thing I would say is, even though I'm very optimistic about, you know, what I'm doing, and I'm very optimistic about the world overall. One thing I've lost a little bit of optimism around is the way that the world is going in terms of, you know, how we treat each other and how we talk to one another. Like, you know, I've constantly been thinking a lot about, oh, like in the next 50 years, what is possibly the most scary outcome for human beings? And I don't necessarily think it's, you know, an environmental issue. I think actually what it potentially could be is, you know, to some degree, a civil conflict, like a civil war, if you will, erupting within, especially the United States. Like, I just feel like people are so, you know, polarized in some parts of the U.S. now, where it's very hard to get people to have a meaningful debate and a meaningful conversation. And again, this isn't a lot of people's fault, in my opinion. It's really the system they're put into and kind of the technology they're interacting with that continues to make them more polarized. But again, I just don't see a world where, you know, people are going to come to the middle and meet one another and chat, you know, about their differences in a way that isn't hostile for some people and for some parts of the U.S.
Well, and, you know, there is, you know, I've always delineated there's a difference between like stupidity and ignorance. Ignorance is you don't know because you've never been exposed to it. Stupidity is making the choice to not do anything about it or do anything with it, like not to, to stay closed no matter what you're presented to. And, but this takes it all to a whole new level, because now we have people out there that are really promoting the idea that actually being well-read, well-educated, and well-spoken is a bad thing. Like, they're just trying to manipulate you.
Yeah.
And it's, go ahead.
No, I was going to agree with you. I think because a lot of people feel like if you are matching those characteristics, you're part of the quote-unquote establishment, you know, you're part of the system. And I mean, I see it all the time on Facebook, for example. I'll see, you know, a news outlet, for example, share something that is definitively true sometimes. Like, I do my research and I'm like, that is definitively true. There is actually a study that concluded blank. You know, sometimes obviously, you know, media, like news publications, tend to glamorize or sensationalize news through their headlines. But again, the meat of the content was true. And I looked at a lot of the comments that were like, this is untrue, this is BS, this is not true, what a hoax, like, you know, and all of this type of stuff. And I think it's scary, you know, even with the vaccine situation, candidly, like, I see both sides of the debate here, right? Like, I see, you know, people that are not against, you know, that are against the vaccine, I see people that are for it, I can kind of understand arguments on both. But what's a little bit scary is that, like, in a debate, typically you come to a table with, you know, terms and definitions that everybody agrees to. The problem with the vaccine debate is not everybody even agrees to the same definition. Like, not even everybody agrees with the science behind vaccines, right? So it makes it very tough to have conversations now when we're not even agreeing to the basic definitions and terms for a debate.
You know, it has... One of the things I've been known to say is that, you know, stupid has become extremely popular. Like, it's the end thing to be. Because it's supposed to be some representation, as if somehow being attached to and tied to something, even if it's stupid, if it's wrong, if you can prove that it's wrong, if it's clearly wrong, but somehow it's a badge of, I'm being my own man. I'm being my own person. I'm standing here proudly stupid. What are you talking about? I'm like, really? So, but you are a young man that is headed, already has, and is headed to continue to have a bigger and bigger megaphone. You will reach people. You will get places that, like, I'll never get at this point. And my question to you is, how do you want to use that megaphone? You've been working very hard to give yourself a big megaphone. And a lot of people have megaphones and they're very irresponsible with them. Some people seek megaphones because they want the megaphones for their own self-gain or power or aggrandizement. why do you want the megaphone and what are you going to do with it, Swish?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And it kind of stems to even just how I got the megaphone in the first place. You know, if you look at LinkedIn, for example, that's where most of my audience is. I have a community of now 140,000 people on LinkedIn. And on LinkedIn, the main way that I grew my following is by interviewing people and spotlighting other people. And so that's really what I want my megaphone for, right? Is I typically, you know, don't go online and I don't share my own beliefs as much. I mean, if I feel very strongly about something, I obviously do. But for the most part, I'm a pretty easygoing person. I don't have, like, you know, incredibly strong convictions on you know, every topic in the world. I don't think everybody, by the way, should. I think there's some topics where I just bow out because I feel like I don't have the, you know, expertise or the knowledge to be able to talk about that issue yet. It doesn't mean I can't get it, but it just means that at that time I don't have it. But at the same time, for me, again, my megaphone, the reason I continue to want to grow it is because I can at least spotlight other people. So, you know, I love spotlighting change makers in my community from all walks of life, working on all types of issues. I love the ability to spotlight young professionals, young students that maybe need a little bit of a push to be able to take a leap of faith and start a business, for example, or decide to, you know, drop out of school. I'm not encouraging people to do that. But again, I think for some people it makes sense and they really do need that kind of push to be able to do that. And finally, I like having the megaphone, obviously, because it helps me in terms of meeting other change makers and being able to collaborate with them. So, like, one of the people, for example, that I recently met was Dax Da Silva. He was the former founder of Lightspeed POS. It's a company he took public on both the Toronto Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. After he stepped down as CEO, he decided to build a charity called the Age of Union. And the Age of Union, he's dedicated over $50 million of his own money towards it. They're working with organizations like Sea Shepherd and Nature Seekers to bring awareness to some of the world's biggest climate issues. And some of the documentaries they're putting together, whether it's around, you know, like bycatch, you know, fishing, which is a massive issue specifically for dolphins, or he's looking specifically at, you know, the coral reef deprecation. These are things that we think about, we see in the news maybe once or twice a year, but we don't truly see the visceral impact of what is happening. And that's what he's trying to film and share. He's not trying to obviously stay away from any sort of dramatic, you know, images or videos that he's capturing when he goes and actually has a film crew go and do that. So those are the types of people that, again, social media has allowed me to connect with. And that's another reason why I like having that megaphone.
So I have a couple of questions and then I'm going to turn it back to Lori and see what other questions she has. So what I hear you say is you are indulging your bottomless pit curious mind.
Yeah.
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 I had forgotten you were, I had forgotten you were one of my kids. I should have known.
Yeah.
You do know what I mean when I say that, right?
I do. Yeah.
Yep. You're all my kids.
I know.
And so my second question to you before I turn it over to Lori for a couple of questions, and then I've got a few more waiting, but I want to give Lori a chance, it's more of a statement. So when you want to put in front of your people somebody who really wants to talk about why ADD and ADHD is a gift and why it's perfect for entrepreneurs and how to look and recognize how and why it's here to change the world, you'll have me on your show for a change. I've had you twice. I think you owe me one there.
100%. Let's do it. I'm so down. I'd love to interview you.
So we'll turn that around. Now that I've done a shameless self-plug, Lori, what questions do you have for Swish?
Well, I just kind of have one, but I have a feeling it's going to be multifaceted in the response. I mean,
it's Swish, of course it is.
Swish, you're a young man. You had a vision. You went for it. You're trying to encourage other people, young people, to do that as well. But what is your word of advice? How do you encourage people to take a chance and create the life they want to live, or get involved in things they believe in? Like, I'm very passionate about climate change, but how do you convince a 20-year-old to be very passionate about climate change?
Yeah, that is definitely get a merited, multifaceted answer. I think there's three things that come to my mind right away. Number one is curiosity helps, right? So for me, like, one thing I do like is that typically, like, as a kid, you know, when you're like 5, 7, 10 years old, whatever, like, you typically are at, like, your peak curiosity. you obviously are very curious about, like, what the hell is this world that I'm living in? Like, what are these new objects and new things that I'm seeing every single day when I'm going to, like, new environments my parents are taking me to? And then obviously you start to dream, right? You start to look around. You start to get exposed to film and TV. Your mind is just constantly taking in for information in such a rapid way that you're just dreaming. You're, like, starting to think what you could possibly do, what you could become, what you could be doing. And so one thing I do appreciate is I didn't lose that. I didn't lose that ever. Like, even as I grew a bit older, I know that, you know, a lot of times school can kick that creativity and that sort of kind of curiosity out of people because, you know, once you start understanding the world, it can become a little bit mundane and it can kind of become a little bit monotonous. And again, you know, a lot of institutions like university, for example, do prioritize, you know, regurgitating knowledge as opposed to exploring new knowledge. And so for me, the one thing I do like is that even though, you know, I'm 25, I still feel like in some aspects around my curiosity and my dreams, I still have the same kind of drive as I did when I was like 6, 7, 10 years old. And the reason I know that is because I wrote a lot when I was a kid, and I still, like, being back at in my home in Calgary, for example, I can look back at some of these, like, journals that I wrote in and smile because, like, I still believe that I could do stuff like that. So that's number one, is I think we need to encourage people to just think bigger, but more importantly, to keep that curiosity as they grow older. You know, and to feel like, you know, especially in today's world, there's so many things that we are blessed with, especially if you live in North America. You're blessed with, in my opinion, the ability to start a business far easier than any other continent on the planet. You know, because of platforms like Shopify, for example, literally anybody today can start a business tomorrow and register it and move forward. You know, and that wasn't something you could do 15, 20 years ago. Because of AWS, for example, Amazon Web Services, you know, you could create a tech company and you wouldn't have to incur, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of server costs anymore because of, you know, AWS, for example, or Media Temple that come in and are entirely built on this idea of cloud computing, which, again, did not exist 15 to 20 years ago. So that's number one. I think number two, you know, for me, it's also, you know, trying to surround yourself with like-minded people. That's where social media comes into play. If I was giving advice to a young professional or a college student, if you really focus on your network, and the best way to network with people is by interviewing them. 99% of people, in my opinion, love talking about themselves. I'm exhibit A. And I think you should play to that very simple aspect of human nature. Instead of reaching out for coffee, tell someone, hey, can I interview you for 5 to 10 minutes? Get on a call with them, interview them, write an article about them on Medium or LinkedIn. Or if you have a podcast, I literally had a podcast in first year of college where I recorded an episode on GarageBand and I exported it to SoundCloud in the most raw and scrappy way possible. And I still was able to meet a lot of really cool people because I played to that very simple aspect of human nature. And the final thing I would say is don't also feel rushed. You know, as much as I think there are a lot of things that I have figured out in life, there's also a lot of things that I don't have figured out. You know, especially on the personal side, I don't drive, for example. I can't cook to save my life. Like, there's so many things on the personal front that I need to get better at and I need to figure out. So especially when you're trying to think about your life, don't think about it in terms of I need to get all of this done in the next 5 years. You're just going to create unnecessary pressure on yourself. Try to think about your life more as like, you know, I'm going to try to do this year and I'm going to try to set a goal for sure for next year. But at the same time, here are the three areas that I want to focus this decade of my life on. And that's what I've done for myself. You know, I focused in on saying, I want to work on Surf for the next 10 years. I want to look at F1, for example, for the next 10 years. Whatever it is I absorb myself into, I know that I want to do it for more than 5 or 6 or 7 years. I want to do it for a longer period of time which allows me to not feel pressure to get things done within a 2 to 3 year time span, if that makes sense.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it does. Because that is one thing that I notice with anybody who starts a business is they try to do it all too fast. No, that's
so
our next
that's question. Our we have our music coming in. We'll be back for our last episode, for our last segment with the one and only Swish.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of this week's Dr. Kevin Show. I'm here with Reverend Lori Powers Otto, my regular fourth of the month co-host, and our guest tonight is Swish Gosomi, which I murdered your name again. You'll correct it if you'd like, or you don't have to bother. It's up to you, Swish. 25, his own. He is the CEO of a company called Surf. He is changing the collection of data around the world, but actually he's doing a lot more. He's changing the way that this generation interconnects and intercommunicates in ways in which they maybe survive the world that our generation handed them, which was kind of a shit on a stick world in some ways. Not completely. We got some great things we gave you, and we gave you some really high price tags for it too. So Swish is out there making a difference in the world. Entrepreneurial since 14, and he's got a new book out called The Young Entrepreneurs, which came out in May. You can come. Swish, what's the best website or way for them to contact you?
LinkedIn. If you want to reach me, Swish Goswami, S-W-I-S-H, and then Goswami. I'm hopefully the only Swish in your network. So yeah, feel free to reach out over LinkedIn.
So great. I think we're connected on LinkedIn, but I should check. I'm not sure. I think you reached out to me through Facebook, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm everywhere, like a bad rash. So I think that one of the things is we're hearing that the interconnected world here. They have all these definitions for generations. What generation, quote unquote, do you belong to?
I belong to Gen Z, apparently. So that's 1995 to, I believe it's 2004. Gen Z. But again, I don't sometimes feel like it because apparently Gen Zs are like the TikTok generation, and I'm definitely not part of the TikTok generation. So I feel like even within Gen Z, there's like two generations. It's like 1995 to like 1999. And then the 2000s babies are a little bit different than us, yeah.
So, because there's a lot of talk around here about that the Gen Zs are going to change the political outlook of America, that they're getting together, that they know how to connect, that they know how to unify, they know how to get out there, they need to know how to make a difference in the world. What do you think? Hype? Or do you think that maybe they've got an edge that Gen X or Gen Y or Gen Why Not, whatever, didn't have?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, let's try to get them out to the polls. I think voter apathy is still a pretty big problem among Gen Z, but that's something I know many people are trying to work at. But again, the fact that we're digital native obviously helps, right? That's the main medium of communication now. It's what politicians are trying to do is like reach people on social media. A lot of them are terrible at it. They come off very cringy. They come off very artificial. And so I definitely think, you know, Gen Z will have an ability to probably bolster in a new medium of communication on various topics that we haven't ever seen before. That being said, though, I also find that Gen Z typically are overwhelmed by the amount of information that they consume every single day, because again, we are digital native, because we do have typically more than 3 social media apps downloaded and logged in at any point in time. So that also does kind of bring up a lot of concerns around like information overload and whether or not Gen Z even have the capacity to filter the type of information they're getting and make proper decisions on it. That's something, again, yet to be seen.
So one of the things I wanted to say as we were wrapping up the last segment and you were talking about your curiosity is I've got good news for you, Swish. You're going to have that curious brain. You will never outgrow it. You are going to have it till the day you die. And it is one of the blessings of being one of my children. So good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Because me, who is the self-admitted ADD, ADHD poster child, people still say to me, how can you like, can't you get old already? Nope. Ain't going to happen. You're going to die young. I'm going to die young. And we're going to watch all these people die old 10 years in front of us. Just so you know, I wanted to give you the good news.
Oh, man, this took a very dark turn now.
Really? I didn't notice. God. So I noticed that when I was kind of poking around at your stuff, tell me about the Speak Your Mind project.
Yeah, I think for me, like growing up, we worked on a really cool initiative that was around trying to get people to speak out and specifically share, you know, what they believed, trying to encourage kids to learn a little bit more about public speaking, because sadly, it's not something we learn going through school. And trying to just get people confident with their voice. You know, for me, like, I definitely don't sound like Adele. Like, I don't have the most, you know, aesthetically pleasing voice, in my opinion, when it comes to singing or even talking sometimes. Like, obviously, I have a lisp, but it's very hard for me sometimes to say my S's and R's properly. But that doesn't really stop me from speaking out and sharing my opinion about things that I'm passionate about. Because, again, for me, the biggest thing I've taken away from the last few years is that it doesn't matter necessarily how you sound or how I think you say something. I think what matters obviously more is what you say. So I've really focused in on the content, the substance of what I said, and tried to refine that and make it more concise. But yeah, that's a little bit about the project and what we were trying to do there.
I found a picture of you holding a sign. I speak up about mental health issues.
Ben, yeah.
You didn't know I was going to like research it, did you, right? There is
no, but I'm glad.
As being normal, there is just being human.
Yeah.
Has mental health issues been something that has negatively impacted your life? And is that why you speak up about it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, definitely it's impacted a lot of my friends and family members. It's impacted me also quite a bit just when it comes to, I think, you know, anxiety in particular has been something I've had to deal with, especially around the pandemic, especially while we were growing a business during the pandemic. I don't know if any young entrepreneur, I wouldn't wish for them to have to build a business during the pandemic. Like, that was very, very tough. It was something I had no, you know, understanding of how to do, and I had to figure it out very much on the spot. So yeah, I talk about, I think, mental health because of that. Again, I think I also talk about it also because for me, you know, like, I don't know, I just feel like we all should be able to relate to it. Like, yeah, I don't think you need to be schizophrenic. I don't think you need to have a very serious mental health illness in order to relate to mental health. At the end of the day, mental health is a spectrum. You know, we fluctuate on that spectrum every single day. We have good days, we have bad days, we have days where we're feeling a little bit mildly depressed, we have days where we're feeling anxious, we have days where we're feeling enthusiastic, excited, ready to go. And so I think, again, given the fact that we all operate on the spectrum, we should all be able to have a conversation about it and relate to it at least.
One of the things that I've mentioned a few times on the show that I've noticed is a shift in my practice, because, you know, I've been doing, I mean, I've had my own business for 33 years in January. And in that time, congrats. I mean, I now, I'm sorry, what?
I was saying congrats.
Oh, and in that time, I now am working with the kids of the people that I worked with before they had them. You know, like, I'm now doing a couple of generations. Like, I can look at these kids that I work with now and go, yeah, I knew your parents when they were your age, and they were seeing me too. So, like, there's nothing wrong with this. but
yeah,
this is a time when I have seen that they're literally, I feel like, you know, and I'm not a big mental health labeler. I am very much about, let's identify things, let's avoid labeling them, because labels limit and identify give us a place to open a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Labels give you a place to stop.
Right.
Identifiers give
right.
you a place to start. And
right.
so with mental health issues, a lot of times we get very much into wanting to have a label, which of course comes with a pill, which comes with a diagnosis, which comes with a DMV, you know, a DSMV classification, which comes with something that insurance will pay for, all nice, neat, and clean, and let's not go any further.
Hmm.
What I have found is I'm working with a lot of, more than ever in my practice, late teen, early 20-something, on how to actually function in the world. I have parents
right.
paying me to work with kids on literally how to function in the world. And I look at it and I see the damage that's being done by social media, that they actually don't know a reality of living in the world as a person.
Yep. Yeah. And especially even during the pandemic, right? Like, imagine the impact that social media plus the pandemic has now played into lives and how people act in person. Like, I've met people, by the way, who, like, coming out of the pandemic couldn't even look me in the eye. Like, I've had meetings where people were so jittery, so nervous, that they were looking everywhere. They were looking up, they were looking to the side. They just could not keep eye contact with me. And again, like, I think I'm a decently, you know, attractive person. So I don't see why, no, I'm kidding. But I still feel like people should be able to, you know, to hopefully have those soft skills again, you know. But it's crazy. Like, I think more people these days are taking virtual calls, you know, either over the phone or through Zoom or through Google Hangouts or whatever. And it's making it so that this kind of in-person interaction that we should have, because that's where the most meaningful relationships, in my opinion, are built, is very much lacking among people's skill sets. So it's a little bit terrifying, especially, you know, I can imagine just being a kid, candidly, and having to go through 2 years of the pandemic. Like, imagine being in, like, grade 4, grade 5. Imagine having to go through and do your college experience, like, 2 years of your college experience as a freshman and sophomore through the pandemic. That definitely has an impact on people.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, during, like, for 18 months straight of the pandemic, I was doing anywhere from 38 to 42 hours of clients a week.
Mm.
Every week. And people couldn't even get in to see me because I was so booked and everybody was doing this. But I'm seeing this scarily evolution of I don't know how to interact in person. I don't know how to read body language. I don't know how to I don't know how to be able to take apart, you know, what's fake from what's real. Like, you know, like, and I hear, oh, you know, like, everybody else has such a great life and I've got such a shitty life. Well, how do you know that? Well, look at their social media pages. I'm like, honey, it's not real. It's not real. It's not real.
Yeah, it's all parts, really. Like, you know, people put up the best version of themselves as well. Again, like, that's what I'm telling you. Like, there is so much around mental health that we need to start talking about, you know, and, like, it's not just around social media. It's not just around the pandemic. It's not just around, you know, people putting up a farce and people, you know, showing the best versions of themselves online. It's also just candidly about people, like, starting to lose touch with themselves and what makes them special, you know? And so, again, for me, I feel lucky because I still believe that. Like, I think it's a balance, you know? I don't think I'm a child. I you know, I don't believe that I am, like, I don't know, the second coming of Jesus, obviously. But, like, I view myself as special in what I'm able to do, but I also am humble enough to know my limitations. But even a lot of people only focus on the limitations, and that just bogs down their confidence overall.
So we're winding down. Our music's coming in. They can't hear us anymore. Swish, boo, you're plenty attractive. Don't worry about it. You're pretty enough.
Thank you.
Reach out to me, and I'll see about coming and chatting with you on LinkedIn.
Amazing. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the time, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Ms. Lori, I'll see you in a month.